learn in Zchus Rifua Shlema Chaim Leivish Velvel Ben Sheva and B'Sosh Rachel Yisrael. We are up to today, Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. But really, we're going to start a paragraph before that. Although we're not going to dig in completely into the paragraph before that because we did it yesterday. I will point out that today's Daf, in many ways, is particularly significant because if there's a yeshiva or if there's a school that's learning Maseches Shabbos, many of them will start on this daf, not necessarily at the beginning of the daf, but this daf, as we'll see, the end of the first amud, talks about the 39 malachos. It goes through each and every single one of the 39 malachos. Now, we're not going to get to each one of them today, nor are we going to get really into the nitty-gritty details of how to apply it. But it is interesting to note that this daf is where many yeshivas start with, or many yeshivas at least make sure to do early on in the school year so that they can get a greater view of the malachos as a list. We've already been talking about many of the details about violating the malachos in terms of a shogeg and a mezid and misasik, but it is an interesting note that the Gemara doesn't bring up the malachos until Daf 73, Daf Ayin Gimel, which is just, that's how the Gemara works. And before it sort of lays out what you think are the foundations, it gives you the halachic foundations that it thinks are more relevant first. So either way, yesterday we had really talked about, before we got complicated in our Zoom issues. So the Gemara was trying to superimpose a shita of Rava onto another machlokas or another discussion in the Braisa. So either way, we're not going to go back completely back into the discussion because it's sort of going to reset it in a second. So the Gemara says, "Ad kan laba mine Rava merav Nachman ela ilachiu vechad ilachiu vetarte." The question by Rava and Rav Nachman, which was about avodah zarah, was only in terms of whether a person would be chayiv one karban or two karbanos. Aval mitri legamri lo, but to say that he was completely mutter would not work. Would not make any sense to say that would be the way we can understand our Mishnah or the Brisa that we were trying to justify beforehand. Ela lav reisha b'avrazar v'sev v'shar mitzvos. Rather, must be that the first part of the Braisa is talking about Avodah Zarah, and the second part is talking about Shar Mitzvos. And if you remember yesterday, we'd say, well, if the beginning is talking about this, the end must talk about this, but if the end is talking about this, so it doesn't make any sense, right? So that was, just to generally give you the back and forth of the Gemara in a very general sense. So the Gemara says, how does that work? V'shagag below Miskad Mishar Mitzvos Yechidah. I mean, how could it be that a person is shogeg because he doesn't have kavanah to do something by other mitzvos? Right, by Shabbos we know it, but we'll see it again in a second. So the Gemara says, "Desavar de shumanhu." They thought when they ate something that it was okay fat to eat, v'achlo, and then they ate it. Masha ein ke, and but it was really chelev, which is usher to eat, and therefore the Gemara says that would be considered shogeg. You'd be chayv a carbon for that. Masha ein ke b'Shabbos de pater, but when it comes to the similar situation of Shabbos, you'd be pater in that same dynamic. A person had the intention to pick up something which is already disconnected. Kind of interesting words. It uses the word lachtoch, but we're not going to focus on that too much. To pick up the or to cut something which is already disconnected. And he actually comes to cut off something else which is actually still connected to the ground, so that would still be pater because he has no kavana. However, for Abaye would say that that's also chai because you had the intention to cut. What about Abaye who would think that that's a situation where you're chayiv because you have full intention to do a cutting process even though you wouldn't have it to do on that specific piece of plant? So below miskave and hechidami, desavor roku ublao. A person thought that what he was swallowing was really just his own saliva, and it turns out it was actually chelev. So for swallowing liquids, it's a whole different situation, and it would be even more lenient. So the Gemara says in that situation, Rabbi would say that it would be pater as a shogig. Masha enki mishabas de pater. Then skavel hakbias a talush. All you wanted to do was pick up something which was disconnected to the ground, and it turns out you actually cut something off from the ground. So according to the Abaye, you never had intention to ever cut anything, whether it was disconnected or connected. So therefore, according to the Abaye, you'd be patur. According to the Abaye, again, if you would have intention to cut something, even if your intention was to cut something which was disconnected from the ground, and you ended up cutting something which was connected because you had the intention to cut, that is enough of an intention to make you chayev for Shabbos. So let's go back to a similar, let's reiterate that same point with a different kind of example. The Gemara says, Itmar, Niskavin Lizrok Shtayim Vizarok Arba. The person thought that maybe he's playing catch, and he thought he didn't have such a strong arm, so his whole intention was to throw only 2 cubits. He wanted to throw it, what's 2 cubits? 5 feet? 2 feet? 3 feet. He wanted to throw it 3 feet. And it turns out he was much stronger than he thought. Vizarik Arba. And he threw it 6 feet. Okay? So in a public domain, as we've talked about, if you make something travel for 6 feet, for 4 amos, so that's considered a public domain a violation of walking in public, carrying in a public domain. So Rava Amar Pater. Rava says because he had the intention to only throw for 2 feet, for 2 amos, so then that would be Pater. Abai Amar Chayav. Abai says, you still be Chayav. Why? Rava Amar Pater. Pater Tolom Kavim Chavim Lizrik De Arba. Rava says you'd be Pater because you had no intention to throw it for amos. Abai Amar Chayav. Dehaka Machayim Lizrik De Arba. Because you had the intention to throw it in general, and because that act of throwing still happens, even if it went further than you expected, that would still be something that would reflect back on you that you threw it 4 amos. Does anyone know those YouTube videos that came out a few years ago about the halachic concepts that they apply to sporting events? You know, they had a whole football video. And it goes through like Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
Anyways, there was a football one though with the Rishus.
Yeah, with the Rishus, about if his feet are in bounds and the foot is over the goal line. So I feel like this Gemara could be easily used for like golf or something. Like you intended to hit it only a few feet and then it went way past the 2 feet. You get a mulligan, stuff like that. Anyways, maybe I'll send it to the group. It's a very funny video. He has a few of them. Either way. So Gemara now says, if a person thought he was walking in a private domain, and it turns out it was a public domain, Rava Amar Pater, Abai Amar Chayev. So again, Rava takes into account a person's understanding of the context, whereas Abai only takes into account a person's understanding of their activity. Rava Amar Pater, Tehalakum Chavin, Zrikal Disura. Rava says he'd be Pater because a person, when he's throwing it in what he thinks is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, he thinks he's doing something completely mutter. He doesn't think he's doing anything problematic. Abai Amar Chayev. Abai still says it would be Aser because Kamachav Lezrika Ba'ama, he's still throwing it even if he thinks he's in a private domain. He still has full intention to do the throwing motion. Therefore, he'd still be considered Chayev.
There's a difference here between the two situations. Good. In the Rishut Hayachid, he thinks that it's a... He knows where he is, and he knows what kind of throw he's executed.
Right.
So he knows his action. He knows everything about his action. It's only the circumstance,
right,
private versus public. But the other one, he's in a public domain. Good. And he knows he's in a public domain. He knows he's in a public domain, but he thinks he's giving a little throw and he's giving a big throw. In that case, he doesn't really understand his action. So Abaye's statement that he knows what he's doing is in fact a little bit different. In one case, he doesn't quite know what he's done.
Right. Yeah, no, in the first case, he's... You can understand Rava's sheet a little better, and in the second case, you understand Abaye's understanding a little better because he's really throwing it 4 amos. But that's what exactly the Gemara says. The Gemara asks, why do we need both of these cases? So, Tricha, Di'yash Minan Kamaisa, if you only said the first case where he's going to throw two amos, Bahahi Kamarava Daholo Kamachavel Chasich Di'isura. For the first case, though this is talking about the Shabbos Braisa, for the first case, you never had intention to actually cut something which was problematic to cut. Avanaskan Lizark Shtaim Zark Araba. But if you had the kavana to throw two and two, and he actually threw four, da arba below tarti lo mizarki lay, so he couldn't have thrown four without throwing that two. So some of that activity was definitely conscious and planned, deliberative, and therefore you would think it would be chayev. Maybe you would think he'd be moded to Abayev, and Kamash Malon that he's not, that he passing is still Mekel. And if you were to assume those two cases, you never had intention to actually throw it for Amos. You had complete, in this case, just because you got the context wrong, you completely threw the ball for Amos, fully aware of how much you're throwing. In all those cases, you need Rava to teach you that there's going to be a lenient opinion, there's going to be a lenient view of your activity, because each one of them you might have thought had a stringency that the Rava never accounted for. Why don't you just, oftentimes the Gemara will just say, well, why don't you say the most stringent one and we know the first ones? Presumably because you could say the variables backwards also. Either way, so this here's another, I think this is probably the third time we've seen this Gemara here. Tanan, Abbas Melachos Arbaim Chazar Achas, the Mishnah that we're about to quote, says that there are 40 minus one Melachos, V'havinun Ba. And we ask, Minyan Alamali, why do we need a number? V'amar Rabbi Yochan, Shimasan Kol Mehel, V'achayva Kol Achas V'achas, because if you do all 39 categories in one bout of forgetfulness, assuming that it's because of each of the activities and not because you don't know it's Shabbos, so then you'd be chayev on each and every one. According to Abaye, when you just don't know about Shabbos, you'd be chayev. According to Abaye, the whole problem could be that you just don't know the measurements. You think one measurement, and it turns out it's really another measurement, and that would be shogeg. According to Rava, who thinks that if you never have the intention to do a malacha, so how could you ever, if without the intention to do a malacha, you'd be completely putter, so then if that's the case, how could he ever have a situation where you're doing something on purpose for Shabbos, but with a mistaken notion about the malacha? According to Rava, a mistaken notion about a malacha means you're completely mutter. So the Gemara says like this, that makes sense if you were going to pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Well, Rabbi was really Rabbi Yochanan Shita. If you remember from last week, so there could be a type of shogig where you just don't have the proper understanding of the punishments. That would be considered shogig according to Rabbi Yochanan within the Shita of Rava. Ella Yisav Rabbi Shimon Lakish, but if he passed like Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Damar Ashiko Balav Vikaris, Jadal Shabbos B'mai. If in order to be shogig for Shabbos, you have to absolutely know nothing about Shabbos in terms of the punishment, so then how could it ever be that you know something about Shabbos to make it considered shogig? Diyadala Bitzchumin Va'alib Rabbi Akiva. It rather means that you know about Shabbos to the extent that you know about Tchum. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that knowledge of Tchum is a knowledge on a Daraisa. Okay, so that's another type of that machlokas that we've understood by through that machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. I think we saw it three different ways. I'm not going to test you on it, but just to keep it in mind that we've done it before. Okay, now, here's the Mishnah we've all been waiting for. It's been 72 days until we could get to this Mishnah. Everyone's waiting. Masa Yavosh, you know, Lama Tes Malachos. So here we go. That's a reference to a parish about Har Sinai. But either way, the Mishnah says, Avos Malachos Abraham Chosar Achas. We've heard that before. There are 39 Malachos, 40 minus 1. I feel like I should give like a drasha on that line. Why 40 minus 1? I don't actually remember the reasons, but there are reasons for it. I don't know if that satisfies anyone. But either way, here's the list. By the way, these lists, you'll notice that the lists have very similar activities for a number of them, and then it switches gears. That's actually very important in terms of some halachic categorizations. There are things in here that are referenced for different leniencies. If it's part of this process, it gets a leniency. If it's part of that process, it gets a leniency. So the beginning of it is the process called sidura de pas. It's called the process of making bread. So you'll notice that I think it's like 10 or somewhere like 10 malachos that are all to do with making bread. So what are those? So hazoreya. And by the way, keep in mind, in the back of your mind, we'll get to this again at some point, but keep in the back of your mind that every one of these 39 malachos that we'll see, I think even this daf is going to say it again, every one of these 39 malachos is an activity that was done in the Mishkan. So when they made the Lechem HaPanim, so these are all the things they had to do to make the Lechem HaPanim for the sake of the operation of the Mishkan. So here we go. Hazoreya, planting. Hachoresh, plowing. Kotzer, harvesting. Ma'amer, gathering. Or bringing together, I should say. Hadash, threshing. Zore, winnowing. Borer, to separate. Tochen, to grind. Meraged, to sift with like a sieve. Halash, to knead. Ha'ofet, to bake. Okay, that's sidur de pas. Those are all the things that are required for making bread. How many was that? 6, 8, 11. Okay, I was close. 11. Hagozes es hatzemer. Now we're going into using hide. Gozes es hatzemer means you're shearing the wool. Malabno, you whiten the wool. You bleach it or somehow. This is the general category of laundering. Hamenapso. Menapso, I think, means to comb it. So what it means, you have to comb it to make sure that it's smooth. Hatsovo, to color it. Hatove, to twine it, to make it into, to spin it into the wool. Hamesech. Mesech here means, it says to stretch, to put it on the loom. Haose, good. Who is that? Michael's got a nice little picture for us there. Haose shtebate nirin, someone who makes this looming contraption. It's kind of that. Of all the malachas, that's probably the rarest one to ever violate. All the other ones have like interesting subcategories that maybe you could apply to. I don't think I've ever seen any application of this malacha. Osa shtei batei nirin. Let's say
what people sometimes say that is, let's say if you take your talus, or a kid is playing with the parent's talus, and they overlap the strings from two into shasi ve'erev, that would be like this.
I've never heard that, nor do I see how that would apply.
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, because this is talking about using the actual mechanic thing. I don't think it's...
That's the thing. Is it only the mechanics, or is it actually intertwining in two directions the string?
That's fun.
It's when you do... It's like on a fill-in, on the back of the fill-in, when you do right. One over, one under.
Yes. Yeah, but that's not using this machine. This is like using the actual implement. That would be more
right.
Like oreg. Ha'oreg shtei chutin would be weaving two things together. That sounds a lot more like what you're talking about. Ha'ose shtei batei nirin is literally using that machine.
So then maybe I'm thinking another one.
Yeah, ha'oreg shtei shnei chutin, where you weave two things together. That's another part of the process. Ha'potzea shnei chutin. And when you cut off, you destroy two things that are woven together. For the sake of, all of these things are for the sake of making something, by the way. Hakosher v'hamater v'hatofer shtei tiviros, hakorei amenas litfor shtei tiviros. If you tie, if you untie for the sake of tying, and if you sew two stitches, and if you cut, if you unsew. Is there a better word for that? No. You tear things in order to re-sew it. And that's in terms of making of garments or making of clothing.
One question back with the weaving is, how do you weave two threads? I mean, if you've woven a whole bunch of threads already, and then you do one more act, I guess you could weave two threads, but just if you had two threads, you'd put one on top of each other, and maybe it's as Steve suggested, what putting one on top of each other doesn't sound like weaving, but I don't know how else, what else is weaving.
No, it's two. It's like when you do basket weaving. I was using filling because it was...
You have to sort of put them together somehow.
So if you do two, where one goes over, one goes under, and then you do a second one under and over.
Well, then you're taking the same threads and turning them back around on each other. That's not how anybody weaves. That's...
They started before Shabbos, though. That's, I think the understanding is
they continued the weave.
And they continued it.
That's
what I said. If you'd already done a bunch of weaving and the whole process is there, then you do, one more act, maybe.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of the details of different types of knots. Not right away, but relatively soon. So the Gemara then said...
Isn't that the whole thing about if you put a pin through something once, it's not a problem if you do it two times? In other words, in and out is...
I hear that. I'm not sure how we're possible about that, but it sounds like it's relevant, yeah. Okay, so what about what they did in order to make, to get animals? Hatsad Svi, if you trap a deer, Hashochto, Teshechtesh, Avamavshito, to skin a deer, hamocho, and to salt the hide, v'hamaabed is oro, and to tan the hide, v'hamamachko, and to smoothen the hide, v'hamachatcho, and to cut it into measured parts. That's the kicker there. You're cutting into specific things. All these are constructive or creative in some way. Hakosev shteosios, now talking about how they would make the... how they would make the building. If you write two letters, or two symbols, I should say, and if you erase for the sake of writing two letters, someone who builds or deconstructs for the sake of reconstruction, someone who puts out a fire, someone who makes a fire, someone who finishes a process. Makavash literally means the last hammer blow. Hamotzi mirshus rishus, you take from one domain to another domain. Hare elu avos malachos arbaim chasar achas. Those are the 40 minus one malachas, 39 malachas. Okay, maybe you've seen this Gemara before. Minyan alamali, why do we need the count? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shima san kulam behalamachad chayva kol achas v'achas. You should be... waking up with this line in your head. We've seen it so many times. Why do we need 39 malachas? Why do we need to count? Because if you do all of them in one setting of forgetfulness, so then you be chayav on each and every one of them. Okay, now let's go into very small tidbits of each of these things. It's funny, this Gemara always amuses me because the Gemara is going to come up with situations that apply to each of the malachas in more depth. And here it's sort of just saying like one or two lines about each one of them. So it's just interesting. But either way, Gemara says, Hazorea v'achorish. You plant and then you plow. Wait a second. Michti michrav karbi beresha lisni chorish v'hada lisni zorea. Any good farmer knows that you plow before you seed. So why does it say seeding and then plowing? Oh no, Tana b'Eretz Yisrael, you Babylonians, you don't know how we plant here in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, we put the seed down and then we plow. I don't know why. Kai Dizari Bereshav Hadra Karbi. I don't know what modern technology says to do, but that's how they did Eretz Yisrael back then. I am from Kansas, but I did not have a farm, believe it or not. So, Tana.
It says here they plowed a second time.
Right. They would do it again, yeah. I don't know why, but to mix it into the soil or something? Yeah, I don't know either. Tana. Hazoreav, Hazomer, Vahanoteav, Hamavrech, Vahamarkiv, Kulamalach, Achas Hain. So now we're going to get into something called toldas. Even though the Mishnah only said zoreah, to plant, literally, it says hazomer, which means to prune, hanotea, which means to plant, as opposed to just to put the seeds in. V'hamavrich, someone who grafts. Mavrich is to put it back into the ground. And hamarkiv is to graft. Kula malach achas, and all of those are one malacha, meaning they're all within the rubric of sowing, of creation of a plant. Now, it's very interesting how exactly do you violate that. The Gemara is going to talk about it later, I think, if I remember correctly, meaning planting takes a long time. What if I put the seeds into the ground, and then 2 days later, after Shabbos, I take them out? So have I violated planting? I put the seeds in the ground. Maybe the process started, but now it's not doing anything. So that's part of the question here. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malan." What's the chiddush of saying that these are all part of the same malacha? Hakamash malan ha'osa malachas harbe mei malacha achas eino chayv ela achas. As you said before, as long as it's part of the same av malacha, the same category of the 39, so it's only going to be chayv one malacha, assuming that you did each one of them with a forgetfulness about the each of the acts. You didn't know that grafting was usher, and you didn't know that putting seeds in the ground was usher. Nonetheless, doing both of them in the same bout of forgetfulness would only be mechayev you one carbon. So, Amar Rabbi Ami, Zomer chayev mishum notaya, someone who prunes is chayev because of plant of sowing, meaning planting. V'hanoteya v'amamar v'amar chayev mishum zorea. Similarly, are all the other ones that we just mentioned. Mishum zorea in mishum notaya lo. Are you telling me that a person who is chayev mishum zorea is not chayev mishum notaya? Right? He had two separate phrases. He said, Zomer is for Noteya, and all these other ones are for Zorea. So why did you say one and not the other? So Ema af mishum Zorea. Rather, what it means is even for planting, meaning it's all the same thing. Okay? Amar of Kahana, Zomer v'tzarech la'etzim.
At this point, Rabbi,
yeah.
At this point, when we say that it has to be done in one forgetfulness, if he does something in the morning and he just doesn't,
yeah.
No, not remembering, he does another tolda later in the day.
That's the same thing, yeah. For when we say the same,
not at the same time.
The same bout of forgetfulness. What it basically, I think, what it means, it has to be on the same Shabbos, and no one, and the person has to have never heard that the first one was usher yet.
Okay.
I mean, like, he was never clued into the fact, and that was some of what the discussions were the last few dapim about Helam Echad and what does a person know in between. If you remember all those gemaras. So Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says Zomer Vizarach LaEitzem, a person prunes and wants the wood. Meaning that you cut it off, and then you're going to use the wood that you cut off. Chayv shtayim, so you'd be obligated two karbanos. Achas b'shem kotzer, one because of harvesting. V'achas b'shem notaya, right? You're making the tree better, meaning you're sort of effectuating a better planting cycle by cutting it off, by pruning it to allow it to grow better. But you're also using the product that you cut off, so that's going to be considered kotzer. That's going to be considered harvesting. Yeah, David.
When we say that he's exempt if it's one act of forgetting, mm-hmm. or unawareness. Right. What if he understands that one tolda is forbidden and he doesn't understand that another tolda is forbidden? I mean, that's certainly very plausible. I mean, he understands something right. about it, but he has no idea of the extent of it. Is he...
Yeah, that's interesting. I think Steve asked me that same question after I put out the halacha yesterday. I'm not sure 100%, but I would think that a person would be obligated for the obligatory part of it. Meaning, they are still within the same punishable act, and part of it was completely purposeful. So I would think that you'd be chayev. I don't know if you'd have two separate chiyuvim there, if that's what you're asking. I don't think.
Can you say that was the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos?
No, that was in terms of... that was in terms of what the act is. So I said to you, it depends what two acts they are. But in talking generally, it could right. be according to Rashi that would definitely be chayev. But the Rashi Tosfos thing I told you was based on the example that you had given. Yeah, so it's possible. So the Gemara says here, V'achas v'shem notel, Amar Rav Yosef, Hai man dekatel aspasta chayev shtayim. A person who cuts, what is this? Aspasta's alfalfa? That's what I have here in Sefaria. Achayev shtayim, Achas v'shem kotzer, V'achas v'shem notel, same type of thing. You cut it off, it helps the tree, and it also is considered to cutting off your harvesting. Amar Rabbi, Hai man dekatel of silka chayev shtayim. A person who cuts beet leaves, chayev shtayim, achas v'shem kotzer, achas v'shem zore, right? It's basically to tell you that in the same act of cutting, you could be helping the tree, which would be part of sowing, and then you could also be using the product, which would be part of kotzer. V'hachorish, on to the next one. To plow, tana, hachorish, v'hachor, v'chorish, v'kul, v'mach, achasin. To plow, to dig a hole, and to make a furrow are all one malacha. Right, you're basically digging in the ground. So Amrav Sheshes, Haisalo Gav Shushes Unatala. You had some kind of mound of dirt inside your house. think Rashi says, tel katan. Oh, well, I was going to say, but bai is chai mishmin bona. If it's in your house and you're chai because of bona, you're making your house, right? You're creating the nice floor by taking away this mound of dirt. This probably has a lot of nuance to it. All these probably have a lot of nuance to it. What does it mean you had a pile of dirt? Was it on a tile floor? So then you're not really making the floor. This is presumably in a situation where you have an uneven floor and you're basically, you're smoothing off the top part, which is sort of like a big pile of dirt. So in that situation, you're making the floor. Basada, if however it's in a field, so you're not chai because of bona, but you would be chai mishim choresh. You would be chai because of plowing. I think the Gemara is going to revisit this. I'm trying to like sort of, you know, dig into the recesses of my brain as to what I learned 5 years ago when I was in yeshiva. 6 years ago when I was in yeshiva. I'm pretty sure the Gemara comes back to this concept. But either way,
and yeah. The difference is here if someone does this on a baseball field, is that considered like a house or is it considered like a planting field?
Right, I hear. Let's see what Rashi says. Rashi says, "B'bayi shayach binya shemiskavin hashvas karkaiso." Your whole point of taking away the mound is to smoothen out the ground. So, if, according to the baseball field, so maybe that would be smoothing out the ground. That's the purpose of your action. Mishmachorish demirape ara. But when it comes to doing it outside in a field, the purpose of it is to loosen the dirt. So presumably, you're not loosening the dirt for a baseball field, and therefore, maybe we would say, like according to Rashi, that it would only be considered bona when it's in a baseball field. But that's a tough sell because it's not really a structure. So I'm not sure what we would say about picking up a mound of dirt on a baseball field. Amarava. Haisalo guma utmama. Let's say you had some kind of guma, is like a ditch. What is it? How do they translate it here? One who had a hole. Yeah, probably makes more sense. And you filled it up. So what would you be chayev? Utmama b'bay is chayev mishum bona. If it's in a house, so it's considered like you're building the house. Basada mishum choresh. If it's in the field, so then it would be considered like plowing, because you are filling in a hole. I guess that's also part of choresh. Rashi says ba'avar hainu choresh afar shemila bohave ripoy v'tov lizria because what you're filling it. So Rashi explains it because it doesn't make much sense from the outside. The dirt that you're filling it up with is like fertilizer. You're using better, softer soil to put it in, and therefore it's better for planting. Amar Rabbi Abba, Hachofer Guma B'Shabbos V'Eino Tzarech El Afar. This is very interesting. I think we've mentioned this before, way back when we talked about putting out, when we talked about the Gemaras by Hanukkah, and the three things, Rav and Abaye, if you remember. Either way, so Hachofer Guma B'Shabbos V'Eino Tzarech El Afar Pater Aleha. A person who digs a little hole on Shabbos, but you only need the dirt, right? So we've been talking about you make a little hole for the sake of maybe the hole, or for the sake of where it is for planting or for the house. Here it's saying no, you made the hole, but you didn't really care for the hole. You just wanted the dirt. So if you only want the dirt, so that says Rabbi Abba Pater Aleha, you'd be Pater Avalaser. I think this is one of those situations where back to assuming that Pater Avalaser doing. Is still Asur Midra Rabbanan. What did you say, Michael?
I think it's Pasik Ratio, the chicken head. One third shouldn't mean to, you're not trying to make a hole. You're not trying to plant or make a hole. Your intention is the dirt. I want this hand.
Yeah, so I don't think we can call it Pasik Ratio. Why it's not a Pasik Ratio is interesting, but if we would call it a Pasik Ratio, that would be Asur Midra Raisa, not just Pater.
Okay.
I mean, there are more nuances to it that the Gemara is going to probably talk about in the next daf, but yeah, you're onto the right way of thinking when it comes to this. So Pater Alav Ha'afil Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Malach Shantzriach Guf Chayv Alav. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, if you remember, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that says if you do a malach and you don't care for the result of that malacha, so you're still chayev hani milim etakin. That's only in a situation where you actually created something. But hai mekakel he'll hear in a situation you're not actually creating something, you're actually ruining something. Rashi says, babayis. So this is not always the truth, but at least when it comes to the house, that would be the situation that you're ruining something. Mekakel who has beso. Very interesting. In general, we have to keep in mind that all of Shabbos malachas are for the sake of creativity. right? The whole purpose of Shabbos, let's keep in mind, the whole purpose of Shabbos is to recognize that Hashem is the creator and not us. We're not the creators. So all of these malachas are in order to teach us that we don't create things. So when you have something which is particularly destructive, so it's not going to be a fully fledged Isser on Shabbos, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara then says, HaKotzer, Tana, HaKotzer, HaBotzer, HaGoder, HaMasik, HaOreh, Kulamach, Achas. One who reaps, Kotzer means to harvest, one who picks the grapes, one who harvests the dates, one who collects the olives, and one who gathers the figs. These are all the same type of malacha of reaping the produce. Amarev Papa, Haiman, Deshada, Pisal, and Dikla, V'atar, Tamre, Chayv, Shtayim. So if someone throws, this is very interesting, throws a clump of dirt at a date palm tree, and the dates fall off, so you'll be Chayv, Shtayim. Achas, Mishim, Tolish, V'achas, Mishim, Mavarek. One because of picking off the tolish, harvesting the dates, meaning you're reaping the dates, and second because mefarik, you're dissociating the date from the tree. That's mefarik. This Gemara, by the way, causes a lot of different discussion in modern day processes. Tosos here has a very important discussion, if I remember correctly. Tosos here says, I'm on the wrong daf. It's not going to help anyone. Tosos here says, Mefarik. Rashi says that's a told of the dash. That's a Mefarik. To separate one thing from another thing is a subcategory of threshing. This Tosos, I think, talks about milking and whether or not a person could milk for on Shabbos and what malacha that would fall under. Now, what malacha would fall under would therefore reapply it into all these gemaras. So any leniency we would get from one malacha would not apply for another malacha. And therefore, it's very interesting about when Rashi says that this mefarik is a told of the dash. Tosos has a different idea. I think he says it's a told of something else. The machik. That you're smoothening something. Either way, so Gemara says achshu tarish tolish achshu mefarik. One because you're harvesting tolish, you're separating. Also because you're dissociating it from another thing. Rav Ashi Amar in derech tolish bekach, in derech prika bekach. That's not how you would usually do it. You would do it with your hands. You wouldn't throw a piece of dirt at the tree, and therefore it's not a problem. It would be patur aval aser, presumably. Is that what Rashi says? What does Rashi say? Yeah, it's an atypical way of doing it. It's considered a shinoi, and it would be us, Midra Abana, to do such a thing on purpose. V'ham Amer, to gather together. Unexpectedly rare malachas to do. Ma'amer means to join things together, to gather things together. But just to put it all in your hands is not the malach. You actually have to do something physical to bind them together. So Amar Rav, Hai Man, the kind of milcham and milchas, the chayv mishum ma'amer. Someone who gathers salt together from a salt pool is going to be chayv mishum ma'amer. Abai Amar Ein Imor El Bigdul Karka. Abai says no, even that wouldn't be the case because you can only do ma'amer with things that grow from the ground. So one example that I've heard is if you somehow bundle leaves together. That would be ma'amer. But other than that, there are very few examples of how to actually violate this. Okay, the hadash.
Flowers would be...
Flowers, presumably also, if you're gonna somehow bind them together. It's very hard to do. I don't know. If you put them in a basket, it might be the case. Right.
Yeah. If you...
Some will say... If you...
A chemical reaction? Is that they're... It's like chemically putting them together?
I don't think so. I think it more in terms of some kind of binding agent. But many binding agents are usher to use on Shabbos anyway. So it's hard to create the salt one sounded more like a chemical reaction because you have to bind the salt together. I don't know how that works. But if you put it in a basket, I think some explain that putting it in a basket would be a binding enough to make it
usher. The salt is very simple. You just evaporate the water. I mean, I don't
how do you do that on Shabbos?
I
don't know. V'hadash, and threshing. Tana hadash hanapet menapet kulmach achasein, one who threshes, one who beats flax to remove it from the hard cover of its stalk, and one who strikes a cotton plant to remove the cotton seeds, all are part of the same dash. Now, it's interesting because the Gemara here sort of goes through each one of these and gives us subcategories. There are other subcategories of dash that aren't mentioned here, but we'll get to those later. Hazora, Haborer, Hatochen, Hamarakid, Hainuzora, Hainubora, Hainumarakid. So we had three things in the Mishnah. One was to winnow, one was to separate, and one was to grind, and one was to, to sift. So those are all, Zora, Borer, and Merakid are all the same thing. They're all in order to separate the good from the bad. You're just doing it in three different ways. Zora is when you throw it up in the wind and the chaff blows away and the denser kernels fall down. And then Borer is with your hands or with some kind of utensil. And Merakid is to sift it with a sieve. So all those are trying to take the bad from the good or the good from the bad. Anything that has to do with the Mishkan, that's what we're going to count. So these different activities they did in the Mishkan, even though they all have the same purpose, they'd all be considered a separate malacha in the category or in the list of malachas because they were specifically different activities. The question then for it is going to become, well then, if you do a subcategory, which one of those three is it going to fall under? Is there a big difference whether which one they fall under? Even though there are some things that are similar to it, even though each of them are similar to each other, you're going to still list them separately because they're separate activities that they used to use in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, wait a second, they should also count to pound. What does it mean that's how they would sort of smash it. So Amar Abaye Shekein Ani Ochel Pita B'lo Ketisha. Abaye says, no, some people eat bread without pounding it. Rava Amar Hamani, Rabbi Huda Amar Avos Malachos Abraham Chazar Achzvi Chashuv Kotesh Havilei Abayim. Really, we also pass in that to Rabbi Yehuda that we need 39. If you would add Kotesh, it would be 40. So we can't do that. Why not? So it's a good question. As we saw earlier in the Masechta, it has to do with the drasha of using the word malacha in different ways. There's some kind of significance of that number 40, of that number 39. So okay, so take one of these away and include kodesh. So el mechaverta kedabaye. Rather, we have to assume like the reason that kodesh is not counted is like a baye that that some people eat bread without pounding it, and therefore it's not significant enough of a malacha. Okay, that's just the beginning of many, hopefully many discussions of malachas that hopefully will get a better understanding of some of these things for Shabbos.